And the apostles said to Jesus, "Increase our faith." Who among us does not want more faith? Most of us are not surprised then at the disciples' plea to Jesus to give them more. After all, there is a guilt-ridden part of each of us that is not particularly surprised at Jesus' scoffing reply, telling us what we already suspect of ourselves. "If you had even this much faith," he tells them, pinching his thumb and forefinger together, "you would be able to do anything that you wanted." And so we hang our head with the apostles, suffering the scold that we know we deserve, because we fear that we do not have the faith that is demanded of us. After all, if there's one thing we've come to expect from Jesus, it's that constant reminder of how short we fall. But the Jesus that I know and love is a far cry from the demanding, scolding Jesus that we tend to see in scripturally readings like the one this morning. The Jesus I know is caring and nurturing, wanting the very best for me and helping me to walk in the way that leads to life, the way it was meant to be lived. So in light of the gospel this morning, let me indulge you in a what-if scenario to look at this passage in a little different way. What if Jesus is not scolding his disciples at all? What if he is not clucking his tongue and shaking his head over their lack of faith? What if he is speaking these words in a voice of encouragement and love, as one who would give his life for his friends and for us? If we listen again to this exchange with these new ears, we hear Jesus answer the disciples with kindness and maybe even a little wry smile. "Increase our faith," they cry, to which Jesus replies, "Why? You don't need any more faith. Even this much faith is enough." If we hear Jesus speak in this way with a voice of love, we hear him telling the apostles that in fact they already have enough faith to do whatever is required of them. But why do the disciples in the first place suddenly cry out, "Increase our faith"? What has prompted them to consider the fact that they lack faith? Well, given the first five verses that precede this passage in the Gospel of Luke, we might understand well why the disciples might ask for more faith. So listen to the five verses that precede the gospel we just heard. Luke writes, "Jesus said to his disciples, 'Occasions for stumbling are bound to come. But woe to anyone by whom they come. It would be better for you if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea than for you to cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard. If another disciple sins, you must rebuke the offender. And if there is repentance, you must forgive. And if the same person sins against you seven times a day, and turns back to you seven times and says, 'I repent,' you must forgive." The apostles said to Jesus, "Increase our faith." Do you see what's going on here? Jesus has just told them that discipleship is far more demanding than they ever imagined, that they are accountable to one another and for one another. In fact, drowning in the sea is more preferable than causing a brother or a sister to go astray. If they are wronged, he insists, they are to draw on the bottomless well of forgiveness. And so it's no wonder that the disciples cry out, increase our faith, because they're not sure they're up to all of this. They're not sure they can live up to Jesus' apparent demands. And for my part, I'm tempted to behave that way too. I'm not sure I can live up to those demands. And Jesus, in fact, turns to them and tells them through image and story, you already have the faith you need. You do not need any more. You have all the faith that is necessary. Now fulfill its purpose. Live in the faith that you have. And then Jesus goes on to explain. He begins with the image of the mustard seed to instill in the disciples the notion that faith is not quantifiable. It is not the amount of faith you have, for even a little faith can lead to results that surpass our expectation. But then he follows this with a parable about a master and a slave. And frankly, it's curious and perhaps perplexing. And though this reference to slavery may seem too offensive to our culture today, it was an example that many of Jesus' listeners could understand. After all, the Roman world was built on the institution of slavery. To maintain social order so critical to Roman culture then, there were strict rules governing the relationship between a master and a slave. And that relationship called for mutual accountability and expectation. The master expected the slaves to perform their duties, and the servants, in turn, expected that when their work was done, they would receive nourishment and rest and protection from their master. Does the servant deserve congratulations for simply doing what was expected? Jesus asks. Should she be rewarded for doing her job? Of course not. You see, the connection Jesus is making here is one that sees faith as a way of life rather than a way of getting what we hope for. Those who serve God do so with a sense of duty and delight, living a life according to God's commandments. We serve God and one another not for bonus points, not to have be acceptable by God so we might have eternal life, and not only because God expects it, but because we know that God has shown us the way to abundance life, that God has lived the life of faith and simply invites us to join with God in that journey, leading a life of stewardship. In other words, to question whether one has faith or not is to miss the mark, Jesus says. The issue at stake is how we live together in community with one another, knowing that we already have all the faith we need. One of Jesus' prime things is that we living in community are not to cause our brothers and sisters to go astray. But how do we keep from leading each other astray? How do we manage to keep forgiving one another over and over and over again? We're not asked to have superhuman faith to accomplish this purpose. No, God has given us all we need to be faithful to what God expects of us. And that is what faith is all about. Even a little faith helps us to focus on treating each other with dignity and respect, turning our focus on others rather than on ourselves. And in so doing, we begin to build a community around us that is grounded on mutual care and support. From this perspective, faith then is less about personal fortitude and more about mutual forbearance as we keep learning that we are all in this together. A community that lives out this sort of faith is not afraid to ask questions or express doubts or show weakness. It is not afraid to value mercy and fairness or to forgive one another's failings, even when patience wears thin. Faith is not something to be stockpiled in a storehouse for the working of spiritual wonders, but it's an act of living out in obedience to a just and loving God, trusting that God is there and trusting that our actions lead us in the right direction. Trusting in the one with whom we are in relationship. We give up any illusions of self-reliance. We come to trust in the strength of a supportive community. And in this, we acknowledge that faith is not something that can be measured, only enacted and shared in communion with one another. Faith is a way of living our life. It is not a way of trying to attain what we want. So as we walk in God's ways together as a people connected to one another as a community of faith, we find that the God who expects much from us also promises much for us. And wonder of wonders, Jesus, the rightful master of us all, the faithful Son of God, came first and foremost not to be served, but to serve. And to follow his way then is to find life as it was meant to be lived, in faithful service to one another. But let's be real. How does faithful servanthood translate into a way of living? How can we continue to embody the spirit that made Jesus a servant and live as faith-filled people? For that, I'm going to ask you to participate. Turn to page 4 in your bulletins. And please stand with me. At the bottom of the page 4 in your bulletins is a stewardship prayer of dedication. And I believe that this prayer struck me this week. I think it really gets to the heart of what faith is all about. And as we say this prayer of dedication together, I hope that in the deepest point of your hearts, the depths of your very being, you will understand that you have the faith to be able to dedicate yourself in the ways of this prayer. So join with me now in the stewardship prayer of dedication as we live out our life of faith. Join with me. My church is composed of people like me. I help make it what it is. It will be friendly if I am. Its pews will be filled if I help fill them. It will do great work if I work. It will make generous gifts if I am a generous giver. It will bring other people into its worship and fellowship if I invite and bring them in. It will be a church of love and faith if I, who make it what it is, am filled with these same things. Therefore, with the help of God, I will dedicate myself to the task of being all the things that I want my church to be. And may God bless us, keep us, and strengthen us as we live as faithful people in communion and community with one another. Amen.